Today is indeed a momentous step in our efforts to harness the benefits of broadband for every American. I am tremendously grateful to each of my colleagues on the commission for working hard, working together to get this done. The work of the staff has been just incredible, and I'll have more to say about those, and there are others to thank as well. But this is a once-in-a-generation overhaul of universal service, keeping faith with our nation's long commitment to connecting all Americans to communication services. We are taking a system designed for the Alexander Graham Bell era of rotary telephones and modernizing it for the era of Steve Jobs and the internet future he imagined. We are reaffirming for the digital age the fundamental American promise of opportunity for all. We are furthering our national goal of connecting the country to wired and wireless broadband, and we're helping put America on its proper 21st century footing, positioning us to lead the world in a fiercely competitive global digital economy. Infrastructure has always been a key pillar of American economic success, connecting consumers and businesses, facilitating commerce, and unleashing innovation. Broadband internet is the indispensable infrastructure of our 21st century economy. Recognizing this fact, for years, respected voices have called universal broadband an essential ingredient for American economic competitiveness and job creation. In its 2007 report, Rising Above the Gathering Storm, the National Academy of Sciences said that accelerating progress toward making broadband connectivity available and affordable for all is critical, and they urge government to take the necessary steps to meet that goal. In 2010, in our national broadband plan, we correctly called extending wired and wireless broadband to all Americans the great infrastructure challenge of the 21st century. And last year, IBM CEO Sam Palmisano expressed a view we've heard from other CEOs, from governors, from mayors, and from consumers across the country. He implored policymakers to fix the bridges, but don't forget broadband. And he said that a pervasive broadband infrastructure would be a powerful generator of new jobs and economic growth. Today, building on years of hard work by the FCC and on Capitol Hill and on stakeholders outside the agency, this commission is acting unanimously and on a bipartisan basis to meet this critical national challenge and bring the Universal Service Fund and intercarrier compensation into the broadband age. Our action will enable millions of Americans to work, learn, and innovate online. It will open new vistas of digital opportunity and enhance public safety. It will create jobs in the near term and lay the foundation for enduring job creation, economic growth, and U.S. global competitiveness for years to come. Today's reforms of the multi-billion dollar Universal Service Fund and intercarrier compensation will bring real benefits to consumers and communities in every part of the country. Over the next year, the Connect America Fund will bring broadband to more than 600,000 Americans who wouldn't have it otherwise. In the 5 years after that, millions more rural families will be connected. And today's order puts us on the path to get broadband to every American by the end of the decade, to close the broadband deployment gap, which now stands at close to 20 million Americans. We're also extending the benefits of mobile broadband coverage to tens of thousands of unserved road miles, those areas where millions of Americans work, live, and travel, but that are areas of frustration and economic stagnation for so many people today, where mobile connections are needed but unavailable, where small businesses lose out on customers and productivity, where people in traffic accidents or other disasters can't reach 911. today we make mobility an independent, universal service objective for the first time, providing dedicated support through the world's first ever mobility fund. And over the next 3 years, we'll provide almost $1 billion per year in funding for universal mobility. Mobile is one of the fastest growing and most promising sectors of our economy, and having the world's largest market for 3G and 4G subscribers will be a key competitive advantage, enabling us to lead the world in mobile innovation. New wired and wireless broadband will be a lifeline for rural communities currently being bypassed by the opportunities of the internet revolution. As a result of what we are doing today, young people who didn't see a future in their small hometowns will now be able to access a new world of opportunity. Entrepreneurs in small towns won't need to move to the big city to live their dreams. Instead, small business owners doing everything from selling beef to starting hunting lodges, like a resident I met in Liberty, Nebraska, wanted to do. Well, they'll be able to reach customers in the next town, the next city, the next state or country, and boost their markets, their efficiency, their productivity through cloud-based services. Today's action will empower small businesses that otherwise couldn't exist in small-town America and create new jobs in those communities. That includes farmers who need broadband to access commodity pricing, crop information, real-time weather reports, online auctions. During our process, we heard this directly from farmers in rural America. Today's action will help connect anchor institutions, which can play a vital role in expanding basic digital literacy training, so needed in a world where broadband skills are necessary both to find jobs and land jobs. Today's action has the potential to be one of the biggest job creators in rural America in decades. We estimate that the order as a whole will unleash billions of dollars in private sector broadband infrastructure spending in rural America over the next decade, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs. And by empowering millions more Americans to engage in e-commerce as buyers and sellers, the order will grow the size of our overall online marketplace and provide a boost for Main Street businesses all over the country, including urban areas. Today's action will change the landscape for students who are now unserved by broadband, providing educational opportunity that would otherwise be denied in now unserved areas. It will change the landscape for seniors and people with illnesses, providing remote diagnostics and treatment to people who would otherwise have no access, who would have to travel for hundreds of miles. It will enable parents in now unserved areas to finally connect with their children in military service overseas through video chat or other modern communications means that require broadband. Each of these are examples of people we met in our proceeding over the last few months who talked about real needs that they have today. Now, by constraining the growth of the fund, today's reforms will also minimize the burdens these programs place on all consumers, keeping hundreds of millions of dollars in consumers' pockets over the next several years. Our overhaul of the intercarrier compensation system will gradually eliminate the billions of dollars in hidden subsidies currently paid by consumers across the country through their wireless and long-distance phone bills. Our staff estimates that the consumer benefits of ICC reform will be more than $2 billion annually. Consumers will get more value for their money and less waste. These material benefits flow directly from the policy, principles, and structural reforms that we've embraced in this order. The reforms implement the idea that government programs should be modernized to focus on the strategic challenges of today and tomorrow, not yesterday. Starting today, USF will be transformed into the Connect America Fund, which will directly take on our country's 21st century infrastructure challenge by enabling the private sector to build robust, scalable, affordable broadband to homes, businesses, and anchor institutions in unserved communities. Our ICC reforms will also advance the deployment of modern internet protocol networks. And as the telephone network transitions to an IP network, the order affirms our expectation that carriers negotiate in good faith for IP to IP interconnection for voice traffic. Today's order also recognizes, as I mentioned, the growing importance of mobile broadband. For the first time, we make mobility an independent universal service objective and take significant concrete steps to meet that goal. Also a first, today's order brings market-based competitive bidding into universal service support. In a series of ways, including auctions, we have structured distribution of public funds to ensure real efficiency and accountability in both the Connect America Fund and the Mobility Fund. For the first time, our order puts the fund on a firm budget. Fiscal responsibility was a principle we announced on day one, and we've adhered to that in this order, protecting the interests of millions of consumers who contribute into the fund every month. And we put in place a series of reforms to eliminate duplicative and other funding where it's not needed and can't be justified. We also end arbitrage schemes that take advantage of gaps, closing loopholes in our rules. Now, faced with many complex and nuanced policy questions, I believe that this commission, all of us together, have reached the right solutions because we've approached the issues the right way. We didn't rubber stamp or adopt wholesale the proposals of any stakeholder or group of stakeholders, though we welcomed all proposals, all constructive engagement. Instead, we made our decisions on what's right for the American people and our economy based on facts and data gathered in one of the most extensive records in FCC history, including hearings and workshops all across the country, more than 2,700 substantive comments totaling more than 26,000 pages, all of which were reviewed carefully by this incredible team. We have focused on putting consumers first, calibrating the policies we adopt to maximize consumer benefit. We've been careful to ensure that affected companies face predictable and measured transition paths so that they can keep investing in their networks to better serve consumers and support our economy. And we have brought increased clarity to areas of uncertainty created by tensions between new communication services like VoIP, Voice over Internet Protocol, and our old rules. Getting to this point wasn't easy. It required us all to make tough choices about what the Connect America Fund and consumers could and could not support. These started at a very high level. Some proposals would have required consumers to pay a greater share of the cost of reform or would have increased the size of the fund. That would have put too much of a burden on consumers during these difficult economic times. Some said that we should dramatically reduce the size of the fund. But that would have left behind the millions of Americans being bypassed by broadband and with no prospect of broadband connectivity, denying opportunity and economic access to those communities. Some would have had us operate as if we were writing on a blank slate, but of course we're not, and that would have risked needless consumer disruption, build-out delays, and other unintended and undesirable consequences. Now, getting to this point not only required tough choices, it required the engagement of many stakeholders around the country, of our partners in the federal government, the states, tribal communities, the private sector, the nonprofit community. I appreciate the broad level of constructive engagement. It made a difference in our result. That constructive engagement very much includes the many members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who have worked for years to reform and improve universal service and whose ongoing and constructive input is reflected in our action today. There are too many to thank individually in Congress, but I'm grateful to all of the members of Congress who provided input and guidance. The President has been a consistent leader on broadband and the opportunities of technology, and our actions today help meet national goals of universal access to wired and wireless broadband. I want to thank our state partners who pioneered many of the reforms we adopt today. Moving forward, I'm pleased that the states will continue to play a vital role in ensuring that consumers are well served by our universal service program and in other ways. Now, very importantly, I'm deeply grateful to my fellow commissioners who have worked tremendously hard to make today possible. Commissioners Copps and McDowell have been fighting to fix these programs for years, and Commissioner Clyburn's strong experience at the state level in South Carolina has been invaluable in our efforts. From top to bottom, today's order reflects the seriousness of purpose and thoughtful input from each of my colleagues on the commission. It is a better order as a result, and on behalf of the American people, I thank each of you. At a time when citizens want solutions, not gridlock, I'm proud that this commission is approving bipartisan reform of a broken system that will deliver massive benefits to the American people. Now, of course, this would not have happened without the tremendous work of the expert staff of this agency. Without you, we would not be accomplishing today what's been elusive for many years, making reform a reality. Our staff, as all of my colleagues have acknowledged, have not only worked hard, they've performed brilliantly. Crunching numbers, mastering complex technologies, operating at a world-class policy level. Today's order is the product of that tremendous effort. I'm not the first person today to say this, but your work makes us proud. It fulfills the vision of the expert, of the FCC as an expert agency serving our country. There are so many people to thank, as you saw from that list. Each of you sitting here, Sharon Gillette, Ruth Milkman, Carol Maddy, Carol and Ruth and Jim. And others here had our first conversations about universal service reform 20 years ago. Rebecca Goodhart, Jim Schlichting, Michael Steffen, so many others, Steve Rosenberg, so many others in our wireline bureau, our wireless bureau, our general counsel's office, our strategic planning office, all over the commission. I want to acknowledge the work of the team that worked on our national broadband plan. It includes many of the people here and also people who are no longer with the commission for playing an important role in advancing the ball on these reforms in a significant way. The staff of each of the commissioners on the eighth floor deserve a tremendous amount of credit for mastering these incredibly complex topics, for ensuring a serious collaborative effort. I'd mentioned the fact that so many people from the 8th floor staff and the bureaus were here late last night, but that might leave people the impression that last night was the only night people were here late. The more important point is that I don't know anyone can remember the last night when you all weren't here late working on this. And we appreciate that so much. And you've produced a result that you will be proud of for many, many years. I want to particularly salute and applaud Zach Katz and my office, the quarterback of this effort. Zach, you've ran this process in a way that makes us all proud, that I think we've all seen how indispensable you are. Bringing all of this together simply would not have been possible without your work, and also the work of all the people who worked with you in the chairman's office to make this happen, as well as, again, the eighth floor and the staff of the bureaus. Your leadership, your persistence, your savvy, your calmness and strength under fire and in the foxhole. We all honor that and appreciate that very much. Now, the bad news to Zach and our team and everyone else is that our work is not yet done. We have implementation work ahead, and there will continue to be intensive engagement with all stakeholders in response to the further notice we'll adopt today and in the months to come. We still, of course, as my colleagues have mentioned, face a tremendous challenge in increasing broadband adoption, an ongoing barrier to opportunity in both rural and urban America. And while there's no silver bullet for broadband adoption, the lifeline portion of USF can be part of the solution, including a significant investment in broadband adoption pilot programs. I've asked the staff to gear up lifeline reform for action this year. Those are not fake smiles on their faces. But wait, there's more. As my colleagues have also noted, there's work to do on the contribution side. That's another important USF topic the commission will address. I will leave with a closing thought. In the 1930s and 1950s, when Presidents Roosevelt and Eisenhower directed federal funding to roads, tunnels, bridges in the national highway system, they were investing in the then current technologies to connect our people and our communities. The same was true for electricity. The same was true for telephone service, key 20th century universal service achievements. All of those investments have paid tremendous dividends for our economy and our country. Today, broadband internet truly is the information superhighway, the key connective infrastructure of the 21st century. It's what will drive our competitiveness, our economy, and broad opportunity for decades to come. Our action today is firmly rooted in sound principles that have served our country well in the past, and I'm confident it will help deliver a bright future for all Americans.